You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. In this month of October, we're looking at the book of Job. It is the oldest book in our canon, the Bible. And what's interesting is that the lectionary, which is what we follow, the calendar, to make sure we cover everything, we're looking at Job for four Sundays. And truthfully, there are 42 chapters. So you're not even getting the little bitty skinny of it. You're getting like very little of the book of Job. So this is what I suggest. I suggest that you enjoy reading the book of Job out loud and with someone else, because it is a conversation between multiple characters, and it would have more impact if you would sit down with a friend with a good cup of coffee or a cup of something and say, "Hey, friend, let's read Job." Now, I did this with me, myself, and I on Thursday evening and Friday evening. I talked to myself and read Job. And I had warm milk. So that's what I was drinking as I was reading this lovely book. But it is a conversation between many different characters. Now, in week one, Andrew set the scene for us. And that this story of way, way, way back when still connects to us in 2024. Because we all suffer, and we want to know why. We want an explanation for our pain. Garrett, last Sunday night, talked about how the reading of this book with suffering, and that you can read it with hope, because Jesus Christ comes to show us that hope. And he brings the suffering of Job into an understanding through Christ. And tonight we've gone forward and we're at chapter 38 out of 42. So you only have four more chapters to cover next week. But tonight we're going to look at chapter 38. The other participants in this story, in this book of Job, are Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Now these are Job's friends. They're sort of fair weather friends, the friends that you want around, maybe never. But they count each other as friends. But there are two other participants in the story that are often one of them's overlooked, one of them we have a tendency to overlook because we just don't take time to be thankful. So the first one I want to tell you about today is this interesting, like, there's this part in the book, chapter 32 through 37, in the book of Job. And there's this man called Elihu. And he's a young man. And he's angry and he's a hothead. And he stands by and watches these other three friends torment or have conversations or provoke or not console Job. And he's just waiting for his turn. He's going to get out there and he's going to nail Job. And he does. He speaks longer than anybody else in the entire book. And Elihu is a difficult person because these chapters don't really fit. They don't fit in the style of Aramaic writing. They don't fit in the style of conversation. And they're just stuck there. But we don't really have any evidence that they weren't supposed to be there. So they're there. So Elihu has a lot to say, and he's just like a young kid who's just going off on the top of his head. Not like any of our young people here today ever do, any of them, or us older people who have at one time been young. And the other person is the Lord. This is the first hearing of God's voice for Job. God and Satan have a conversation early on, but it is here where God speaks directly to Job. And Job is longing for that, like we all have in our times in our lives when everything is falling apart, or maybe everything's going great. We would just like to hear God's voice. Just maybe even a nudge, maybe just a grunt. But we'd like God to be verbally present in our lives, whether things are going well or things are going poorly. My very first parish that I was a part of, we had children's time, and the children would come down, and I would ask them, is there anything special we need to pray for? And you wouldn't believe the answers that we got. And just the other day, I asked somebody who I could pray for, and they said, well, you could pray for my puppy, because my puppy is eating things that puppies shouldn't eat. And so we prayed for the puppy. But this one day, this little kid came down, and we were all sitting there talking, and he looked at me, and he said, I don't care what we pray for. You just need to tell God to speak up, because I can't hear. God's not speaking loud enough for me to hear. And he was a young child. Now, I'm getting older in my years, and my hearing isn't what it was. And so I can understand what it's like. And it really doesn't matter our age, because there are times in our lives when we do not feel like God speaks clearly and directly to us in a language that we can understand. Job longs to hear God's voice. Now, in all these conversations that Job has had with his co-workers, with his friends, let's say, there have been some interesting comebacks. Job is very quick to come back to this person, whether it's Zophar or Bildad or Eliphaz. He comes back to them with some very sharp words. So, his first response to Eliphaz, oh, that my vexation were weighted. And then to Bildad, indeed, I know that this is so, but how can a mortal be just before God? And then to Zophar, no doubt you are the people, and the wisdom will die with you, but I have understanding as well as you, and I am not inferior to you. Do you see how it's getting more and more intense? There's this escalation. Here's one of the ones I love the best. I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters you all are. I mean, he's naming them what they are. Followed by, how long will you torment me and break me in pieces with words? Listen carefully to my words and let this be your consolation. Bear with me and I will speak. Then after I have spoken, mock on. So he is getting short-tempered with these people, his friends. Finally, today also my complaint is bitter. My hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I know where I might find him, that I might even come to his dwelling. The longing that Job has to be in the presence of God. And finally, Job's last response to these miserable friends, how you have helped us. How you have helped one who has no power. How you have assisted the arm that has no strength. There's a little jab. There's some sarcasm here. Job's patience are worn down. He is weary. And he wants God to come and be near him. And now we have in this thing a whirlwind. Now, I don't know if you've ever been in a whirlwind. Growing up in West Texas, I knew what a whirlwind is. We called them dust devils, where they would just turn in the middle of the field and do this. But in the biblical scriptures, there are times when God's presence is known. It's like, boom, God's presence is known. Okay, maybe not the sound effects, but you get the idea. And so here Job is, and this whirlwind comes in, and Job's like, bingo, God's showing up. I like this. And the Lord says, I'm going to answer you. Gird up your loins, which in Texas talk means pull up your bootstraps. Gird up your loins. And it's interesting because God says, I'm going to answer you. But what he does is he just asks questions. Question after question after question. And why? Well, we're not real sure why God continues to ask questions. But at the very least, we do know that it builds a connection. It's creating a relationship between each other. And the Lord asks these questions and talks about the majesty. Have you seen the clouds? Have you seen the rain? Have you seen these things? Do you see me? I am here in your life. I am present. Your suffering is real, but your suffering does not take away from my majesty. The presence of the Lord is visible, it is tangible, and it is connectional. The voice of the clouds, the floodwaters, the lightning, the given understanding, how dirt clods cling together. Listen to that detail. The hunting lion and the baby ravens. These are immediate manifestations of the Lord. Look around. Life can have seasons of real pain and suffering and darkness. Look around. God is constantly creating and recreating around us and in us. Look around. God is always making new our fractured lives, pulling together all those pieces and weaving them in grace and mercy. Look around. The Lord calls us to trust and to love boldly the Lord and one another. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.